Good morning, and welcome to Overeaters Anonymous, a Vision for You Big Book Study. My name is Elaine B., and I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Massachusetts. Today is Monday, July 23rd, 2018. And today we're reading from the Big Book, Into Action. We're on page 85. We're reading the third paragraph, starting with Step 11, Suggests Prayer and Meditation, through two paragraphs, ending with and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. We're commenting on both paragraphs today. Today's readers are Leslie M. for the 12 Steps, Melissa C.K. for the 12 Traditions, Ginger C., Kathy Jo P., and Kathleen O. The reference number for the 8:30 a.m. special anniversary edition yesterday, July 22nd, 2018, is 11688. That's 11,688. The reference number for this morning's 7 a.m. Eastern Time meeting is for Monday, July 23rd, 2018, is 11,689. That's 11689. The OA Preamble. Overeaters Anonymous is a fellowship of individuals who, through shared experience, strength, and hope, are recovering from compulsive overeating. We welcome everyone who wants to stop eating compulsively. There are no dues or fees for members. We're self-supporting through our own contributions, neither soliciting nor accepting outside donations. OA is not affiliated with any public or private organization, political movement, ideology, or religious doctrine. We take no position on outside issues. Our primary purpose is to abstain from compulsive overeating and compulsive food behaviors, and to carry the message of recovery through the 12 steps of OA to those who still suffer. Our sole purpose. OA's fifth tradition states, each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. At A Vision for You Big Book Study, our message is that people who suffer from compulsive overeating can recover through abstinence and the practice of the 12 steps and 12 traditions of Overeaters Anonymous. I will now ask Leslie M. to please read the 12 steps.
Good morning, Elaine B. Thank you for your service. This is Leslie M. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater from Long Island, New York. The 12 steps. One, we admitted we were powerless over food, that our lives had become unmanageable. Two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. 9. Made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10. Continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. 11. Sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And 12, having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to compulsive overeaters and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Thank you for allowing me to do service, and I pass.
Thank you, Leslie M. And I will now ask Melissa C.K. to please read the 12 traditions.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, fellow visionaries. This is Melissa C.K., compulsive overeater in Chattanooga, Tennessee. The 12 traditions. 1. Our common welfare should come first. Personal recovery depends upon OA unity. 2. For our group purpose, there is but one ultimate authority, a loving God, as he may express himself in our group conscience. Our leaders are but trusted servants. They do not govern. 3. The only requirement for OA membership is a desire to stop eating compulsively. 4. Each group should be autonomous except in matters affecting other groups or OA as a whole. 5. Each group has but one primary purpose, to carry its message to the compulsive overeater who still suffers. 6. An OA group ought never endorse, finance, or lend the OA name to any related facility or outside enterprise, lest problems of money, property, and prestige divert us from our primary purpose. 7. Every OA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. 8. Overeaters Anonymous should remain forever non-professional, but our service centers may employ special workers. 9. OA, as such, ought never be organized, but we may create service boards or committees directly responsible to those they serve. 10. Overeaters Anonymous has no opinion on outside issues. Hence, the OA name ought never be drawn into public controversy. 11. Our public relations policy is based on attraction rather than promotion. We need always maintain personal anonymity at the level of press, radio, films, television, and other public media of communication. And 12, anonymity is the spiritual foundation of all these traditions, ever reminding us to place principles before personalities. Thanks for allowing me to do service. I pass.
And thank you so much, Melissa C.K. How our meeting works. Our meeting focuses on the directions for recovery described in the Big Book of Alcoholics Anonymous. We read a paragraph or two from the literature, then stop and share on what was read. Anyone can share, but we ask that you keep your sharing to the topic and literature we're discussing, and that you keep your share to about 3 minutes. Singleness of purpose reminds us to identify as compulsive overeaters only. Our abstinence requirement for moderators is 1 year, and for readers is 6 months. There's no abstinence requirement for sharing on topic. This meeting does request that your sharing be directly linked to what was read. We're sharing what the directions in the Big Book mean to us. To share, press star 1 to unmute. Once you're done sharing, let us know by saying pass, then press star 1 to mute your phone. In order to have a quiet meeting, everyone's phone except the speaker should be muted. And today we resume our study of the Big Book. We're on page 55, the third paragraph. And I will ask Ginger C. to please begin reading.
Good morning, Elaine, and good morning, everyone. This is Ginger C., recovered compulsive overeater in Colorado. So step 11 suggests prayer and meditation. We shouldn't be shy on this matter of prayer. Better men than we are using it constantly, and it works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. It would be easy to be vague about this matter. Yet we believe we can make some definite and valuable suggestions. When we retire at night, we constructively review our day. Were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Do we owe an apology? Have we kept something to ourselves which should be discussed with another person at once? Were we kind and loving toward all? What could we have done better? Were we thinking of ourselves most of the time? Or were we thinking of what we should do for others, of what we could pack into the stream of life? But we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, or morbid reflection, for that would diminish our usefulness to others. After making our review, we ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. And there is so much always in this book. It's just unbelievable. And thank God for these directions. You know, 86 is how I begin my morning and end my evening on one page. And I just love that we get to keep practicing. You know, this is a daily reprieve, a day at a time. And we practice not for perfection, but to create this habit. It's like I just know in the morning after my knees hit the floor and I invite God in, I read these pages, you know, and then after these pages on 87, they tell us about meditation and going into that next place. But I just love this beginning where it says, better men than we are using it constantly, and it works if we have the proper attitude. So what kind of attitude are we talking about? And it's the pages before that where, how can I best serve thee? Thy will, not mine, be done. And then I just get to work at it. And why do I want to work at it? Well, back on page 49, on the bottom, it says that men of spiritual beliefs and practices, they are demonstrating a degree of stability, happiness, and usefulness, which we should have sought ourselves. So this stuff works, because I never had any stability, any happiness, or any usefulness. It was always miserable because it was Ginger's show and it was about me trying to make sure that I was going to get what I want or not lose what I had. And I didn't know about love and service and bringing more to this world instead of taking from it. So this practice, you know, this prayer and meditation, it does work. And, you know, to me, this is where I really tap into my God, because God to me speaks in whispers. It's silent. It's quiet. And I am such a doer, you know, check that list off, get going, get moving. And with prayer and meditation, I get to just drop in and be. And it's so peaceful. And I don't have any agenda or plans, because I know God runs the show and all I have to do is show up. So there's such serenity in my life as I go through that way. And I have to check in throughout my day, even though I begin with this prayer, this meditation, this quiet morning. The minutes begin, I leave the driveway and someone in traffic could really upset me. You know, I have to constantly be checking in. And that's what's so great with the second paragraph. We may miss a 10 step during our day, but we get a backup, you know, at this paragraph. And then I just get to check in. How did my day go? It's like a movie script. I get to sort of run through those clips of how my day went. My AA buddy always does an AA joke when he says, you know, what could we have done better? He says, stay in bed. And that's just a joke. But, you know, we're just so fortunate to have this and to just keep practicing it. That's what I just emphasized this morning, is it's all about a practice. It's not about perfection. Only God is perfect. But I just keep moving a muscle and I keep my feet in this forward motion and then watch what God can do, because I don't do any of this. And with that, I pass.
Thank you so much, Ginger C. Who'd like to comment on these two paragraphs? Star one to unmute if you'd like to comment.
Kathleen O.
Sunny S.
Kathleen O. Sunny S, I believe it was.
Yeah, Sunny S.
Thank you. Anyone else? Lisa B.
Lisa J.R.
Lisa J.R. And was it Lisa B?
Yes.
Okay.
Sherry K.B.
Sherry K.B. Okay. Well, we'll have Kathleen O, Sunny S, Lisa B, Lisa J.R., and Sherry K.B., and Kathleen O. Please go ahead. Sunny, you'll be right after Kathleen.
Good morning. Thank you so much, Elaine, for your service today. This is Kathleen O, recovered compulsive overeater in Northern California. And I think it was brilliant that they did this, because in step 11, we look for selfishness, dishonesty, and all those things every day, or not every day, but we do that in step 10. And step 11 is reminding me to do that throughout the day, or to review it at the end of the day, but to make sure I'm actually still doing that every day, which has been very helpful to me, because if it didn't suggest this, I might forget to do it. And step 10 is, you know, we do this throughout the day, and when things come up, we deal with them right away. Excuse me. So it's not like at the end of the evening when I do this step 11. Excuse me, that I'm going to have this long list, because if I'm doing step 10 throughout the day, I won't have the long list. But it is good to review and make sure that I got everything. And, you know, someone on this line was very helpful to me once and kind of gave me this challenge, because a lot of this for me is what I'm thinking. It's not what I'm looking like on the outside, because I can be patient and kind and loving on the outside, and but on the inside, I'm having these really nasty thoughts. So, and truly, you know, all action is born in thoughts. So if I'm thinking these things, I'm probably going to end up acting them out. And so it's really important for me to pay attention to my thoughts. Are my thoughts patient, kind, loving, and tolerant? And, you know, of course, where I struggle with this the most is with my husband, it would probably be with children too, except there's no children living in the house. So, you know, I'm with my husband because we're both retired most of the day. And so that's my biggest challenge. Sometimes I think people without spouses or children maybe have it a little easier because I don't struggle with it so much with the outside world as I do at home with my husband. And even, in, you know, and, in the, and when I'm outside going about my day, I may have a thought that crops up really quickly that's kind of judgmental or critical, but I can get rid of it really quickly and see it. You know, I'm human, so I'm always going to be imperfect. I'm never going to be perfect at all these things. But that's what I really work on are, you know, how is my thinking? And it's a good challenge to take, you know. How am I thinking during the day? What are my thoughts and actions? Are my thoughts? Are my thoughts kind, loving, patient, tolerant? You know, this step really is about really striving to have this connection with a higher power, to developing that all the time, and to be compassionate. And thank you for the reminder, Elaine. I pass.
Thank you so much, Kathleen O. Sunny S., you're up next, followed by Lisa B. Star one to unmute, Sunny.
Hi, this is Sunny S. Can I be heard?
Yes, you can. Thank you.
So I am here in Colorado. This is a beautiful exercise that I like to do at night. I think the main purpose for me is, you know, it's a time for reviewing the day. It's a time to also connect with my higher power. In, I think that, you know, before recovery, it was all about me. It was all about looking in the inside. How can I get my way? You know, and how can I manipulate everyone so that I can get my way? This time it's different. This time I get to practice, you know, from inside to outside, openness. You know, I really see it as a connection to higher power. And I like the fact that it says, you know, a little warning of, you know, not to be too much in ourselves. Like, we must be careful not to drift into worry, remorse, and morbid reflection. I mean, what that tells me is be careful of going too much into, you know, your ego, into thinking about perfectionism. I mean, perfectionism got me in trouble in the first time. You know, so this is not about being perfect. This is just about reflection. This is about connection, love for others, and finding pleasure in doing so. And yeah, I mean, it's also about, I think, doing things to the best of my ability and with integrity, you know, being true to myself, to my own values. And then, yeah, I mean, just letting it flow in terms of connection. So it is truly a very important part of my recovery. And, you know, starting the morning with connection and ending it that way is probably the most beautiful way to live. So, yeah, just wanted to share that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sunny S. Lisa B., I believe I heard you first, so you'll go first, and then Lisa J.R.
Well, good morning. My name is Lisa B. I'm a recovered compulsive overeater in Greenville, South Carolina. Thank you, Elaine, for your service. I wanted to share my experience of approaching this step, being on this step when I was new in the fellowship, and going through the big book, the program of recovery, you know, with my recovered guide. And I was encouraged to be whatever step I'm on, you know, don't venture ahead. Stay on the step I'm on. And so when we got to step 11, obviously I was still in my ninth step process. I hadn't completed my ninth step amends, so I was actively in step 9, getting more and more comfortable with step 10, and now step 11. And it began to feel really overwhelming for me. And I just wanted to share my experiences that this is such an action program, but an amazing thing happened for me in doing every night doing my written nightly review. And I just email it to myself. So I write it out on my phone. And I do it, you know, after dinner when I'm watching TV with my husband. I was taught that I don't have to stop life, you know, and go into a closet for an hour and, you know, do my nightly review. But I was taught to do it every night, whether I'm traveling, wherever I am, I need to be doing my nightly review. And I'm so glad that I learned that discipline. But each line became more and more clear as time went on. So like that note, you know, we avoid morbid reflection. That didn't pop into my mind of what that really meant until I was further on. So I could only take as much in as I could take in. And I think just having that discipline every night of doing the nightly review, asking my higher power to guide me, show me what is it today that didn't get caught in the step 10, you know, what is it I need to see, any disturbance. And for me, they're usually the smallest little minute things of thought patterns of like a grudge that I had towards the clerk or the person in front of me or someone at work that I didn't address in a 10th step. And, you know, my illness wants me to minimize things and say, oh, it's not that big of a deal. But everything that disturbs me has got to be addressed, cleaned out in this 10th and 11th step, you know, and it's not, nothing is too small. So I grew into this step. And then one day I began to see how more and more awakened I was. And it was just through doing these action steps every day. But sometimes, you know, it felt like a pain to do it or like homework. But I have to remember my first step experience and why I'm doing this, because I'm desperate to have a recovered experience, that I'm never cured, but I'm recovered. And I want that experience so desperately, you know, that internal change. So with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lisa B. Lisa J.R., you're up next, and you'll be followed by Sherry K.B.
Good morning, everybody. Lisa J.R. from Baltimore, Maryland, gratefully recovered for today. Thank you all for being on the line, and thank you, moderator, for your service. You know, these last steps have evolved for me quite a bit since coming into program 3 years ago. I came in here looking for a softer, easier way, and so when I finally got to these steps, I didn't really work them vigorously, and I could see myself slipping away from that wonderful fourth dimension. So then I swung to the opposite extreme, called people. I had telephonitis, man, in a big way, calling people for 10th steps, you know, doing my 11th step review, wanting somebody to be a banker for my problems or help me and make me feel better, or just, you know, justify what I was saying, blah, blah, blah. You know, it was all about me. And somebody during that span of time suggested that I try to become part of this train. And I know there are several of them out there, but it was a 10th and 11th step train. And, you know, I started to do my 10th steps, just cool it. You know, I was calling people, and on a couple of occasions I called people over and over and didn't get anyone to pick up the phone, didn't leave a message, but just would call. And, you know, God was saying to me, child, I'm right here, you know, and I was treating God like a booby prize. Instead of going to God first, I was going to God last. So, you know, now, you know, that 10th step has really changed. But my 11th step, now I wake up in the morning asking God, you know, instead of saying, God, please help me, I say, God, please help me be of some use to some other fellow today, or to my husband, or to my family, or to somebody I meet on the street. Help me to just be, you know, your hands and feet in this broken world. This thing makes me suit up and show up every day, even when I don't feel like suiting up and showing up. And I have to work my program, and I have to be of use. I've gone from self-centered selfishness to other-centered. And for me, that's astonishing, because don't you know, it was all about me when I came in here, and I can easily drift back into that. You know, I used to train horses, race horses for a living. And, you know, you don't just train a horse for a race and then run it and then leave it in the stall. It's a continual process of keeping an animal fit. Well, my program, it was so hard for me to see that my program was the same way. I have to get up, suit up, show up, and do what I've got to do every day to stay spiritually fit. And I thank you for letting me share with that. I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Lisa J.R. Sherry K.B., you're up next.
Good morning, Elaine. Good morning, everybody. It's Sherry KB in Northern California. I'm very grateful, recovered compulsive overeater, and thank you so much for your service and everybody on the line and any newcomers, welcome. I love Step 11. You know, I just want to reflect for a minute on what the first paragraph said before I go into the other stuff. You know, it says it works if we have the proper attitude and work at it. And it's just that, you know, I'm a work in progress. You know, I know my higher power is infinite higher power, so it's limitless. And so I get to expand and grow in my 11th step to me. And so having the proper attitude, I work at it. I do, I'm a very creative person, and I follow these directions. But I also have creative prayers that I use. There are suggestions in the book here, but there's also my own prayers that I use. And I have particular ones that I use that are very helpful for me. And I know that, you know, this is steps 4 through 9 here, this when we retire at night. And, you know, it is telling me that that I must not drift into worry, remorse, or reflection. It also says that I ask God's forgiveness and inquire what corrective measures should be taken. So that means, you know, asking God what corrective measures should I be taken. And I pause and I wait to see what that is. What I do know is how powerful this is for me when I do this on a daily basis, because it is changing my relationship with my higher power, and it's changing my relationship with people. It's amazing to me. I have a loved one that is that uses, and I used to get so angry. And what I've learned to do through doing this 11th step is I hug him and I pray for him instead, and ask God to help me to see him the way God sees him. And that's just what's come out of it for me on this 11th step. I also have, I view my thinking, absolutely, and that I also, if I've left something out, before I go to sleep, I even ask God, please help me to process anything that I left out in my 11th step so that when I wake up in the morning, it's on my mind and I can take care of it, because I notice how free I feel doing this step, and I love the directions here. And I just am continuing to grow in relation with people and my higher power. And with that, I pass. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Sherry KB, and everybody that's been sharing. We're commenting on two paragraphs today, starting at the bottom of page 85, beginning with Step 11, Suggests Prayer and Meditation. We're reading and commenting on two paragraphs that end with, we inquire what corrective measures should be taken. Who'd like to comment on those two paragraphs?
Lynn S.
Lynn S.
Jenny S.
Jen S. Anyone else?
Leah T. D.
Bonnie M.
Leah,
Julie,
TV, Bonnie M, and Julie.
Julie P.
Julie P. Okay, great. Okay, Ginny S. I'm sorry, Ginny. All right. Well, let's go with these. And I've got, excuse me, Lynn S, Ginny S, Leah TD, Bonnie M, and Julie P. And please go ahead, Lynn. You'll be followed by Ginny.
Good morning. This is Lynn S., a recovered compulsive overeater in Toronto, Canada. And I really struggled with this step 11, when we retire at night. Well, when exactly does that mean? Does that mean when I go to bed, but I like to read when I go to bed, or maybe I like to watch TV and then I'll fall asleep and I won't have it done, so should I do it before? Or do I do it when I'm in bed, and should I have a notebook beside my bed? And how do I do this? And I can't possibly do this, so I'll do it in the morning. But then it doesn't really count because you already do something in the morning. And it went on and on and on. And I made this such a big deal for years. And I listened to other people, and they were so, you know, well, I sit down before I go to bed, and I do this. And I thought, well, okay, I'll try that. But I found myself just going to bed and not doing it. And then I remembered when I first came into the program and when I'd be lying in bed just before I went to sleep, and I was in such awe of the amazing day I'd had. And I thanked God because I wasn't binging all the time, and I wasn't starving, and I wasn't being driven by the food. And I just remember I had this nice, gentle review of my day, and I went, oh, my God, I was doing it, and I didn't even know it. And, you know, it just reminds me, as I was sitting here listening to this, how left to my own devices, I can complicate something to the nth degree as opposed to just doing it. And it's so easily written in one paragraph. I don't need to make a chart or a graph. I don't need to have colored pens and pencils. I don't need to have a special book. All I need to do is do it. And I find that is so true with so much of program. All I need to do is do it. And when I do it the way God intended it to do it, when I do it the way Bill wrote it, it's so simple. It's so easy. And I'm so glad that I had such a reminder this morning of that. And with that, I'll pass.
Thank you so much, Lynn S. Ginny S., you're up next, followed by Leah TD.
Thank you. Ginny S., compulsive overeater in Michigan. Starting my timer. And what I like, in the second paragraph, it says, we ask God to direct our thinking. I love that. And, you know, when I first came to recovery, my relationship was pretty strained. And so when I thought about God, I needed to start by thinking of a group of drunks, or good orderly direction, or the gift of desperation. And there have been times in later recovery when I've still felt desperate, when I've still needed to turn to a group of drunks, whether it was in a face-to-face meeting or the group of drunks that have their stories written in this book. But when I do that, when I ask God to direct my thinking, it's true what it says here. Then I can employ my mental faculties with assurance, because after all, God gave us brains to use. And I think even if we're a newcomer, or if we're someone coming back from a relapse, even if we're at step one and we are feeling powerless and everything inside of us wants to eat, we can still use these words. Maybe I don't have a close, intimate relationship with God as I understand him now, but maybe I can think of some other way where I can get peace. Maybe it is sitting by the lake. Maybe it's that moment when I'm standing underneath the shower. Maybe it's when I'm sitting in a bath. Even if everything inside me wants to eat, can I just pause and ask God, or good orderly direction, what should I do next? And it might be something as simple as just taking a breath. It might be something as simple as making a phone call. But it says here that when we do this, we can trust that our mental faculties, we can use them to better. And after all, God gave us brains to use. And so I can do this every day on awakening. I can think about the day ahead, whether it's a positive day or whether it looks like a negative day. I can think about my plans for the day. And before I ever start my day, I can ask God to direct my thinking. What would he have me do? This gives me peace of mind and confidence when I step out. It gives me hope when I'm thinking about turning away from the food. In the past, food may have been my only solution. It may have been the only thing I could think of to use when I was stressed. But today I have new choices. Today I have a God that I understand. I have good orderly direction. And I'm so grateful to this group of drunks that gave us this book. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you very, very much. Ginny Leati D. No, Jimmy S. Leati D, you're up next, followed by Bonnie M.
Yes, hi, good morning. Leati D from Northern California. Thank you so much for moderating. Thank you, everybody on the line. And I love this part. You know, I mean, look at the road that we've been through, you know, that I've been through, you know, from admitting that I am powerless over food, molasticum unmanageable, to, you know, making that food plan that for me took a while to adjust to, because, you know, everything that I did until now was almost like frantic. Oh, the food plan. I need to weigh my food. It took me a while just to be comfortable with those three measured meals, and, you know, and then, now I need God, because what worked before didn't work. You know, what I tried before didn't work. Nothing ever worked. But, you know, and the fourth step, which is just intense work, you know, bringing up all the wreckage of the past and then share it with another human being and working, you know, God to remove those things, and still doing that till today, but, you know, and making amends and running around and telling people and finally apologizing for my wrongdoing. And so there was a frantic for me process to come to this peace right now where I, you know, and, you know, I started working that muscle, that will continue that will maintain my sobriety with the food, which is, you know, my relationship with God, you know, just every day. You know, and my favorite part, because I'm very punishing to myself, you know, if I remember that saying somebody once said, if I said all those things that I tell myself to someone else, they'll kill me. You know, I say horrible things to myself. So to have that, hey, Liat, watch out, from morbid reflection. Why? Not because your life, you know, it will diminish your usefulness to others. And so, you know, this is something that I've been practicing a lot, is to watch out for morbid reflection, to be kind and understanding that I'm just human and I'm flawed and it's okay. Only God is perfect, you know. And I'm going to close with something that I read lately about, you know, that relationship with God. It's like, you know, in a railroad when, you know, there is that stop, look, and listen. And, you know, stop, you know, I want God to run, to be the train that runs over me. And I have to stop to let that train go through me or run over me. To look with the eyes of my heart of all the good that God has given me, and to listen with the ears of my soul to what He wants me, the direction He wants me to go, you know, in my quiet and not in loud and me moving around. So anyways, I love you all. Thank you for being there, and I'll pass.
Thank you very much, Leati D. Bonnie M., you're up next, followed by Julie P.
Hi, I'm Bonnie M. Very, very grateful to be on this meeting this morning, and welcome newcomers. And I, too, love this part of this book, and it reminds me so much of when I came into the program, when, you know, I never saw myself as selfish. I thought I was one of the most generous people in the world, and the reality of all that was that I was manipulative, and in terms of the food, you know, I thought, God, if I eat everything on my plate, my mother's going to be happy, because that's what my mother wanted me to do. And then I remember times where I was starving myself, and because I heard, my God, nothing kills that kid's appetite, and I thought that was the right thing to do. And how I got guided to this program, to me, was a miracle. But the one thing I heard in the program when I first came in was, trust this process, and to the best of my ability, that's what I've been trying to do. And in the beginning, with prayer and meditation, my prayers were selfish. Meditation, I couldn't sit and so-called meditate like they would sit on a mountain. And I learned that meditation can take many forms. And I heard also that every thought was a prayer. And so I learned that what I wanted to pray were loving things. Now, in terms of God, it just amazes me how far I've been able to come and how much I've been able to give away. And in terms of support for others, because one of the things I pray for every day is to help me love others the way they need to be loved, not the way I think they need to be loved. And that includes my dogs, my family, you, and to be careful to stay out of the gutter and to suspend judgment as fast as I possibly can and ask for help. And, you know, I've been, as a therapist, I used to say to my clients, you know, why do you think they call it a practice? Because we're always practicing. And I feel the same way about this program. Every day I get an opportunity to practice being the best me I can be. And I get to evaluate that, and I get to critique that, and I get to actually sometimes get excited when I've gone off base because I get a new opportunity to clean it up. You know, when the guys first went to the moon, they didn't have a clear direction. And the one thing about this book is there are directions, and it's a gift, you know, to be able to have these directions as far as I'm concerned. And to the best of my ability, do my best to follow them. And with that, I pass.
Thank you very much, Bonnie M. Julie P., you're up next.
Hi, good morning. This is Julie P. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can, Julie. Thank you.
Oh, yes. I'm a compulsive overeater calling from South California, Southern California, where it's hot at 7 o'clock already. Anyway, I just wanted to kind of check in. I've been calling the division for about a week and a half now, and I'm working on about 3 days with no sugar at all, no flour, no wheat, no caffeine. Ooh, had a bad headache for a few days. But I keep calling in to division. And hearing the experience, strength, and hope of all you ladies and men. And, you know, step 11 for me, I have to really watch that whole morbid reflection thing because I'll start analyzing something at the end of my day. And then before I know it, I totally need to make an amends and da 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 da. And, you know, it says, we ask God what corrective measures we should take, you know, and sometimes my head's still confused as far as, is that God or is that me rationalizing, you know, so I have to continue to run it by somebody. Do I really owe an amends here or am I beating myself up? Because that's how I am. I'm just like contradictory. You know, I can be, I'm doing really great. And then somebody will point out, no, that's not too great. So, you know, I'm still new to stopping the food. It's always been my go-to. You know, those thoughts, when I start thinking bad thoughts, you know, they do come out in my actions, and I don't treat people the way that God would treat them. And I want to eat over that, you know. So I'm just going to keep keeping on, and I know that I do trust in the process, and if I do these things on a regular basis, for me to have, I cannot transmit something I haven't got, you know, so I have to do my prayer and my meditation and my reading and listening to this, you know, and sharing and being involved in the fellowship, before I can do anything for anybody else, you know, because that whole thing about your will, what should I do for everybody else? I can do that, but I have to situate myself first. And some days that takes a little more time than others. So with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you, Julie P. Welcome to the meeting, and thank you for sharing. So we have time for two and a half minute shares. Anybody want to take that?
Miriam Riska H.
I'm sorry, who was that?
Miriam Riska H.
Oh, Miriam Riska. I thought so. I'm like, oh, is that Miriam? Okay, great. Anybody else? Well, Miriam, why don't you go ahead, and then I'll take just do a three-minute share, and I'll take just a minute after you because I have something I'd love to share too.
Okay, great. Thanks so much. This is Miriam Riska H., recovered in New Jersey, and I'm so grateful for this opportunity. I just want to say, you know, me too. I just hear everyone sharing, and I just want to say me too. I'm grateful I was taken through the steps, and it wasn't my first time through the steps, and I was given the gift that I was able to see things in a totally different light and experience recovery. But like many people are sharing, you know, I continue to learn. And recently, fairly recently, I started to really take up this 11th step in earnest and really sit down morning and evening, or sometimes it's only morning and I'm doing my evening review then, and really sitting down and following the directions outlined in this book. And like many have said, it's super simple, and simple works for me. I am not an analyzer. I cannot sit there and figure out, like, why exactly I'm reacting this way, and maybe it's something from my childhood, and maybe it isn't. You know, I just simply sit down, and I look at what's going on, where did I go wrong, you know, and asking God to help me live as He would have me be. And it's very powerful, and it's very almost therapeutic, like to sit down and be like, all right, like, I don't like what I did with my daughter earlier today, for example. And, you know, here's where I was selfish, and, you know, how, and God helped me be better. I had this crazy experience yesterday morning. I was writing, and I just wasn't sure what to do about a particular matter. And I was thinking, like, well, maybe I should say something to the person, but maybe that's self-seeking, and I just wasn't sure. And all of a sudden, yesterday, and I wrote about that to God. The way I do it is I write a letter, Dear God, and I just, like, write out whatever is going on and, you know, following the steps in the book. And all of a sudden yesterday, a situation which normally does not happen presented itself, and it was the perfect opportunity to bring up this matter, and I got the answer I needed, and that was that. And I was just, you know, thank you, God. Thank you for that. It just felt like an answer. Like, it really helps to, you know, when I write about something or I pray about something, and I so clearly see God's hand responding, you know, to whatever it was. And so I just wanted to pipe up and just, you know, say, yes, this works. Do it. Don't skip this step. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you for this opportunity.
Thank you to Miriam Riska H. And my name is Elaine B. And I'm recovered in Massachusetts. And I'm so very grateful for the steps. My higher power is a loving higher power of second chances. Because what I see here is that very first question, were we resentful, selfish, dishonest, or afraid? Well, those are the questions that I'm supposed to be on the lookout for all day long when I'm doing my 10th, when I'm, you know, as part of my 10th step, and then I'm supposed to take action if I didn't do them. So here's my second chance. My sponsor taught me that if I'm resentful, if I'm selfish, if I'm dishonest or afraid, it's sort of like stepping in dog poo, and, you know, it's on your shoe, and if you don't clean it up, you're going to stink up the place, and I don't want to climb in bed like that, you know. So here's my second chance to double check my day. Did I get everything cleaned up? Have I kept something to myself that should be discussed with another person at once? You know, do I owe an apology? Should I have made amends to somebody quickly? Or are there still people on my ninth step that I haven't done yet? So what could I have done better? I get a chance to look back. I also do a gratitude list. And what I have is a couple of 11-step buddies that I actually send this to in writing every day. And some nights I don't get to it. I need to do it in the morning. But most nights I do make it a point to do that. I save it for after I brush my teeth because then I have a little, I don't know, I just feel a little bit more awake. And that's when I do it. And so, and I'm so grateful for it and everybody who has shared. And we're going to end the readings, the sharing for today, and transition to reading from, the Big Book on page 164, and followed by the Serenity Prayer. Will Kathy Jo P. please read A Vision for You?
This is Kathy Jo P. Can I be heard?
Yes, thank you.
Great. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is a great fact for you, for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then.